Blog Talk Radio.
And in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad. And I bear witness that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is indeed his last messenger. We further bear witness that the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst. And it is my distinct honor, privilege, and pleasure to greet all of you once again in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Thank you, dear brother. And once again, everybody, welcome to our live study group, Put on the New Man. And this week we are going to be expounding on part 56 of the time and what must be done. And if I'm not mistaken, Brother James, you can correct me, but the title that the minister gave this particular lecture series was The Shadow Government, Guidance to President Obama and the Nation. And
that's right.
This is a very important topic because it reveals the extremes that our open enemy would go to deceive us. So there's no one, in my opinion, better qualified to expound on what the minister has given us other than my dear brother, my Wiley, my friend, my minister, and such a great gift and helper to the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan, Student Minister James Muhammad. Once again, assalamu alaikum, sir.
Wa alaikum salam, dear sister. And, of course, thank you for such wonderful and illustrious introduction. And certainly I must say that they are, in all probability and probably in all reality, many who are more qualified than me. But I certainly know of one without a shadow of a doubt that's more qualified than all. And that, of course, is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Thank you. Always,
yes,
with the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, we bear witness that there is no God but He. And we are forever grateful to Allah for making His presence known to the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and He making His presence known to us all in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, the great Mahdi. And we cannot thank Allah enough for the blessing that He has conferred upon black people in America, throughout the world, and of course, all the whole of the human family, with that one who through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad he fashioned and shaped and prepared for this critical hour at which we have arrived. The hour of which I speak is the hour of the judgment of both the wicked and the righteous and the establishment of the kingdom of God on earth. And the man of whom I speak is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. He is our Redeemer, our Deliverer, the Spirit of Truth, of whom the Scripture prophesies will guide us into all truth. And He is my personal Redeemer, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. It is in the name of Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and in the name of His exalted Christ, the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and their servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, that I'm very happy and honored once again to greet all of you in our listening audience, to my beloved Queen Aziza Mariam Muhammad, everyone, with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language once again, Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, sir.
You know, dear sister, every Friday as we open the show to the pulsating rhythm of our beloved brother Problem 13 and that magnificent rap, it's really a prayer he delivers in his one of his recent rhymes. It is so beautiful, but it is so reassuring and so inspiring. You know, when I listen to it, I think about those struggles that we all must meet, that we all must, of a necessity, face.
Yeah.
It makes me to reflect on this old, not old, but commonly used adage, if you will, especially among Muslims, everything is real. And I used to use that along with everyone else until hearing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's lecture entitled, Allah God is the Granter of Security. After hearing that lecture, I had to, of course, reverse, or not reverse, but I had to qualify that statement to change it, really, its meaning. It is not that everything is real. Allah God is the only reality, and He is the Granter of Security. It begins with Him and ends with Him. And so that is great encouragement. And I tell you the truth, I love to hear that rhyme, dear sister. Please give my gratitude, extend my gratitude, my love, admiration, respect, and greetings to our brother. I hope to see him in Detroit.
And you will, and I will tell him how you crip walk.
Why you gotta say all that? Why can't you just tell him about how wonderfully I'm inspired by his word? You gotta go tell him.
So inspired that Brother James crip walks during the introduction of the program to Problem 13 song. I'm just gonna tell him that he's it's like fire, shut up in your bones, you can't be still.
And look, I'm a black man, and as such, I have natural rhythm. I can't help
That's right.
I just can't help it. All praise is due to Allah. But I look forward, of course, to seeing you both in Detroit, inshallah, for the Savior's Day celebration.
Absolutely.
And I'd like to begin this subject matter with a few scriptures from the Bible, one of which is recited in the 56th installment of The Time and What Must Be Done. Also in Matthew, the 24th chapter, the 4th to the 7th or 8th verse, and then the same chapter, Matthew 24, verse 24 to the 30th verses, and then lastly, from the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 11th to the 13th verses. So let us begin. And of course, we seek refuge in Allah from the accursed Satan. Chapter 24, verses 4 through 8, read as follows. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrow. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. The 24th chapter, again, beginning with the 24th verse. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert. Go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For with so... Hello? I'm sorry. Queen?
Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I thought there was a problem. Let me continue. For as lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. This is to teach us in scriptural, prophetic, and symbolic terms that the one, the Christ, the Mahdi, the Messiah, which is one and the same, will come out of the east to the west, and specifically an area in the west where the carcasses lie. Carcass, as it is defined, is the remains of something that was once alive, but now dead. Wheresoever the eagles are gathered together. So here now are those that were once alive and now dead, gathered under the symbol of an eagle. This is referencing the black man and woman of America who are spiritually, mentally, morally dead and in need of resurrection. We have been languishing here in America, which sign is the sign, or symbol is the sign of an eagle, with spears in one tentacle and olive branches in the other. This is to tell you that they will offer peace on one side, but in reality be representing war. It is we, black brother and sister, here in America, who are the blessed beneficiaries and recipients of the Christ, the long-awaited Mahdi and the long-awaited Messiah. We are the beneficiaries of that figure. And he is to come out from the dead and be referred to as the first fruit or the first arisen of the dead or the first fruit of them that slept. This is to teach us that the death being referred to here is not necessarily physical death, but it is a sleep-like or a death-like sleep. So asleep are we that we are like dead people. That first fruit of them that slept, that first arisen from the dead, is none other than the most honorable Elijah Muhammad, the arisen and exalted Christ, sitting on the right hand of the Father, the all-powerful God, with great power, with mastery over everything and everyone in the universe, with the exception of Almighty God, Allah himself. What a wonderful declaration. What a great and glorious blessing to have our man to be that one that the world has been awaiting and expecting for the past 2,000 years. To know that it is not a popularized portrait of a white man, but it is actually a black man from among the former slaves, the most honorable Elijah Muhammad. And finally, from the book of Ephesians, we read, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. In 2 Corinthians we read, for though we walk in flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. All praises due to Allah. Thank you for allowing us to read those words. The shadow government. The shadow government. Let's look at that word.
Brother James?
Yes, are you there?
Okay, you're waiting for silent.
Waiting for my computer to catch up to me.
Yes, sir. Okay.
The word shadow is defined, a dark figure or image cast on the ground or some surface by a body intercepting light, shade or comparative darkness as in an area, darkness especially that coming after sunset, shelter, protection, sanctuary in the shadow of the church, a slight suggestion, a specter or ghost, a hint or faint indistinct image or idea in intimation, a mere semblance, as in the shadow of power, a reflected image, the representation of the absence of light on a form, the dark part of a picture, especially as representing the absence of illumination, a dark figure or image cast by an object or part of an object upon a surface that would otherwise be illuminated by the theoretical light source. A period of instant gloom, unhappiness, mistrust, doubt, dissension, or the like, as in friendship or one's life. A dominant or pervasive threat, influence, or atmosphere, especially one causing gloom, fear, doubt, or the like. An inseparable companion. A person who follows another in order to keep watch upon that person as a spy or a detective. Of or pertaining to a shadow cabinet. Without official authority, a shadow government. Now let's read what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan stated in last week's installment, The Time and What Must Be Done. He begins, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. In this, our concluding series of broadcasts on the time and what must be done, I'd like to talk with you about the shadow government that hides the knowledge of this great wheel, even from the presidents of the United States that the American people have elected. And we will offer final guidance to our president and nation. What has been hidden, forbidden from America's own high-ranking officials and the general public? Command by Allah to the people of righteousness is contained in the Holy Quran, chapter 2, titled The Cow. Verse 42 reads, and mix not up truth with falsehood, nor hide the truth while you know, And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in his monumental book, Our Savior Has Arrived, in an article titled The Hidden Truth, on page 10, writes, "Hiding the truth is a very serious thing to do. It causes harm and disappointment and causes one to be misled. It causes loss of property and life. It causes the loss of friendship, beloved ones, and loss of confidence and trust. In court, it causes heavy penalties. Someone's being sent to prison or to death for that of which they are innocent. The greatest and the gravest of all is the slave master's hiding of the truth that will exalt and save his slave. This is that great truth that white America is hiding from her once slaves, the black man and woman. The white people know of and see the salvation of their slaves that is now present. They are doing everything they possibly can to deceive the black man and woman into thinking that they, meaning our former slave masters, hold out greater and better promises for a future to the black man and woman in America than Almighty God Allah. This will deceive many of our people. Read the 7th surah, chapter of the Holy Quran, where the devil is made to confess his deceiving of the people in these words. Allah promised you the promise of truth. I promised you, but failed to fulfill. The government of the United States of America and the scientists in her government have known about the presence of this great wheel since the 1940s, when they raided the home and the temple of the Nation of Islam and took from the Honorable Elijah Muhammad the writings of Master Faraj Muhammad to him, and the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's writings and drawings of the wheel. Now the question becomes, dear family, why is it in the face and in the light of so many sightings, so many verifications and confirmations on the part of government officials up to and including the presidents of the United States to the common folk in America and throughout the world? Why is it so critical to hide the truth of this wheel? And how does it relate to the salvation of the black man and woman in America that is being offered by Almighty God Allah and being interrupted by the false offer of equality by our open enemies here in America? What is your relationship to the wheel, black brother and sister? I hope and pray that those of you who have been listening to and participating in our show on Friday, that you all are heeding our call, our appeal to tune in every Saturday, 6 o'clock Central Standard Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, to www.noi.org/the time. And listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's most illuminating messages on the time and what must be done. I'm going to read a bit more of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words, and then we, by the grace of Allah, will engage our listening audience in this discussion. He continued. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the FBI bore witness to him that they had seen it, and of course, what he was teaching was the truth. He said one FBI official took a pistol and put it to his head and said, quote, "I ought to blow your brains out." And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, "You will if it pleases Allah. But if it doesn't please Allah, you won't." And the enemy said to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, "Had you taught this 20 years earlier, you would have been shot outright. But in other words, you're on time, so go and teach your people." From that day and from before that day, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has been teaching, and the government of the United States has been hiding the truth from not only the American people, but they made the knowledge of this great will above top secret. And top secret, the minister writes, is the hydrogen bomb. And the mother plane, this great wheel, was top secret or a top secret above that. The knowledge of this has been hidden from them, forbidden to the elected presidents of the United States of America, knowing that their term in office would only be 4 years or 8 years. They forbade the presidents to know this, fearing that after they left office, they might inform the American people of what they knew. Study the following scriptures. In the book of Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the 11th to the 13th verses, again, "Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of Satan." That word wiles is defined as tricks or stratagems to deceive. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world." Well, in symbolic terms, that simply means those who are responsible for the falsehood that keeps the American people and others in the darkness of ignorance, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Spiritual wickedness in high places. "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And so, having read those scriptures and the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, let us engage our audience on this most critical subject, the shadow government.
Yes, sir. Okay. Y'all know the rules. Those of you who are calling by the phone, and y'all beat me here tonight. So those of you who are calling by phone, please press one on your dial pad. Of course, those of you in the chat room, my Yahoo chat is not up. So if you happen to be listening by the phone, click over to my Gmail, and I'm about to refresh my screen and open that one up. But we already have some questions in the chat room, but we want to encourage you who are on the phone. We want to hear your voices. And I said that at the beginning of the year, we want to hear you. Ask your questions. Don't be afraid. If you want to remain anonymous, that's fine. But we do want to hear your voices this year. So, Brother James, I have a very interesting question from someone who calls themselves Peaches21.
Okay.
And she says, from a spiritual standpoint, do you believe the Honorable Elijah Muhammad hears and sees us and has been healed on the wheel, as you mentioned that would happen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan last week? Also, is telepathy used between the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Minister Farrakhan?
I have to respond in the affirmative on both counts, dear sister. I certainly believe, not only spiritually, but physically, that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad is completely healed and restored by the great medical science that is found on that wheel. And I also firmly believe that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad does communicate with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in terms of telepathically, which, let's define that so we have a better understanding of what you're asking. Give me a moment, please. I'll look at the word telepathic. It is defined as communication between minds by some means other than sensory perception. Okay? Let's look at the word telepathy. One second, please.
Yes, sir. That's what study group is for.
That's right. It gives relatively the same meaning, communication between minds by some means other than sensory perception. You know, in our history of the true history of Jesus' life, we are taught, and the Bible bears this out scripturally, that Jesus was taught the science of what we call in the Nation of Islam the radio in the head. And as a radio gives off frequencies, both AM and FM frequencies, then the mind is certainly capable of giving off these frequencies that others that are operating on the same level of receptivity can be able to pick up. It's not only that the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad can do it and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan can do it, but we all have that capability. Sometimes you will finish a sentence of someone who you regularly converse with. It may be your wife, it could be your child or a close friend. You'll finish their sentence. Or sometimes both of you will be thinking the same thing. I know for a fact that this has happened to you, and certainly this has happened to me. That is not by accident. That's because you're picking up on thought waves, because at that time, your minds are on the same frequency level. So, yes, I believe that with all my heart. And I know for a fact that everything that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is doing and has been doing ever since his revelatory experience on the wheel is as a result of instructions that were given to him by the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So the short answers to your questions is both yes and yes.
And if you don't mind, Brother James, I want to expound a little further on
Go right ahead.
Because, you know, we need to be minus of spookism and realize that the enemy has taught us that our natural abilities are something spooky. And the reason why, because it was spooky to them because it was not in their genetic makeup. It was not a part of their DNA code to be able to do the things that the original people could do. And this is not something spooky. It's not something over the top. And it's just like, and I'm pretty sure Brother James can bear witness to this. Sometimes you be married to somebody so long, and you can look at them and tell what they're thinking or how they're feeling. It's the art of tuning in, but that is not an unnatural ability. That is an instinct that is shared with people who have the common entity. So when you think about the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan and you think about the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, then these men are the embodiment of the essence of Master Farab Muhammad. And all three of these men have the same mission. So they have the same mind, and the communication is easy for them to communicate in that form because they're on the same accord. So it's not something spooky. It's not something totally just out of the way, supernatural. This is the natural ability of the black man and woman that Allah in his creation of us gave us. So stripped of knowledge, and we've been so programmed and deprogrammed from our natural abilities that we have lost this education or this knowledge of self. So I just wanted to share that with her. And thank you, Brother James, for allowing me to do so.
Thank you. Thank you for your contribution, Queen. And, of course, you can look in the scriptures, brothers and sisters, and our listeners, wherever it states in the Gospels, Jesus, perceiving their thoughts, did this. Or Jesus, knowing their thoughts, went this way. He was escaping the planned attacks against him by his enemy. That's replete in all books of the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will find these verses of scripture indicating Jesus' ability to read the thoughts of those who were planning against him.
Okay.
Thank you again.
All right. Thank you. Okay, we have a question from Damond. He says, why does the government continue with the pursuit of defeating Allah? Many say that they are aware that their time is up, but I don't think that they are aware.
Well, many of them, what's the brother's name?
Damond.
Brother Damond, many of them don't necessarily know that their time is up. The wise of white people, the knowledgeable of white people, and then, of course, there are some of the general public of them that realize that their time is coming to an end. But let's look at the scripture. The scripture says Satan is angry because he knows he has but a short time. Well, let's look at the Quran. When Allah God cast Satan down, or Iblis as he's referred to in the Quranic scripture, cast him down, he says, since you have caused me to be disappointed, I'm going to lie in wait for them in thy straight path, and I will come from before them and behind them and from their right and from their left. And when I'm done, you won't find many of them grateful. Well, this is to indicate that Satan knows that he's going to lose this battle. He's going to lose this war, this conflict. He knows that, but his desire is to deceive as many as he can to come with him to the world well-earned hell that he has earned. His desire, his objective, his goal is to deceive as many as he can, and this is why he persists, even though he knows the end of it all.
Okay,
this is why I read
that
scripture. If I may just finish, this is why I read that scripture in the beginning. In several places in the gospel, Jesus is warning the people, "Let no man deceive you." So deception is not going to come from a spook or spirit. It's going to come from men, from human beings. You see? And the greatest deception is who, the lie of who is Jesus Christ. That's the biggest deception, because Jesus Christ represents man's relationship or transference into God. Jesus is the example of man's relationship to God. In fact, man being God. So he is to deceive the people about the person of Jesus Christ, the identification of Jesus Christ. This is why many of us, when we think about Jesus Christ, immediately a white picture comes into our heads, because we've been deceived. He does not want you to know who the real Jesus Christ is, because the revelation of who Jesus and the exposure of who Jesus Christ really is at one and at the same time the revelation and exposure of who Satan is. And Satan has been doing a magnificent job of hiding. Okay, go ahead, sis.
Yes, sir. Well, I wanted to bring in somebody that I think you'd be happy to hear from. So, area code 314, are you there?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam, Brother Kareem. And, of course, I'm very happy to hear from you, dear brother, always.
All praise is due to Allah. I'm very happy to be here. I received that message, you know, on the airwaves.
Yes, sir. All
and,
praise is due to Allah. Very good.
And, of course, I can never, as we always talk, we never turn down an opportunity to serve. So let me begin in a proper manner. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is his messenger, and I bear witness that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is our divine reminder in our midst, he who carries the mantle of Masi or Messiah. I greet everyone again with the greeting words of peace. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum salam, sir.
And on that note, what you were just sharing about that particular scripture, you know, it's really bearing witness, what you just said, as always, to instructions that we were given. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us that there were three things we had to have for success, absolutely. One was that we had to master mathematics. The second was that we had to have a comprehensive knowledge and understanding of history. One thing that he placed even above those is that we had to have a command of the English language. And just in that scripture that you talked, that you evidently read at the beginning, I wanted to share something on that, about the command of the English language, and it's in chapter 4 of Matthew, starts in verse 4, or it is verse 4 and 5. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, period." That means he's saying, this is the instruction. Take heed that no man deceive you. There's no opening for interpretation. Then he says, for many shall come in my name, comma. Now he wants you to think about that. Pause and think. Many shall come in my name, meaning many shall come in Jesus' name, saying that they are authorized by Jesus. Saying, comma, meaning making a statement, I am Christ, saying that he's Christ, talking about Jesus 2,000 years ago, according to the book. And then after Christ, it has semicolon, which means that everything that follows what comes behind the semicolon is directly related to and tells you what the purpose of what came before it, and shall deceive many. So he stated in the book that, I'm going to put it in plain everyday language, there's a lot of folks going to come in my name telling you that I'm the Christ, and they're going to deceive a whole lot of people because, in essence, that's not me. That's for somebody else in the future. So it's stated right there in exactly what you gave. It's just we have to have that command of the language to know what it's saying. So, I mean, I just, you know, I came in on that, and I just wanted to share that part. But I'm looking forward to, as always, learning more and sharing whatever Allah may bless me with. But I'm happy to be here with you, my brother.
And I am mutually overjoyed to have you with us. So, well, I don't have to say stick around because I know your mic is going to stay open.
Yes, sir.
And we will, again, engage the listening audience. I want to just restate the purpose for which we are going through these discussions, and we have this online study group, if you will. It's not just to bounce the wisdom off of each other or to demonstrate in some vain way what we know or understand of the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, but the repetition of the message, the expansion of the message to evoke out of our listening audience a response. Because as the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has repeatedly taught us, when you know better, you do better.
That's right.
And we are trying to evoke a better life response, the way we're living. Because you must admit, brothers and sisters, and those of you in our listening audience, the way we live is not the best way to live. And certainly, more often than not, it is not consistent with the commandments of God. Whether we are Christian, Muslim, Jew, it doesn't matter. If we look at how we personally are living, we must admit there's a great deal of improvement necessary. So this is what we are purposed in doing and in having this show, this wonderful forum, not just to talk, certainly not to exalt ourselves, but by the help of Allah to inspire a change for the better using the life-giving, life-teaching, or a life-preserving, life-saving teaching of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad as they are so wonderfully and clearly distilled to us by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. So let's roll on.
Okay. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. I'm multitasking. Okay. Demond had another question. He said, why did they allow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to live and teach and oppose him the whole while and even now?
Why did they allow him to do so? They couldn't stop him from doing so.
That's That's right. That's right.
Because, as I read earlier, from the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan in his distillation of some of the history of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad when the FBI raided his home and raided the mosque. They told them, one of the FBI agents said, if you were to teach this 20 years ago, you would be shot outright. Which means, as the minister said, but since you're on time, now go and teach your people. They can't stop it. They can't stop it. In this hour of the judgment, it is truth that will prevail. And try as they may, they can't stop it.
Yes, sir. And I and Brother DeMond, he made some further comments. You know, when I think he was saying that, like, you know, how they just used to kill black men and, you know, once they get them incarcerated or whatever. But, you know, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was not just any black man. He was a man who was divinely guided and protected by the God. So you're absolutely right, DeMond. Most of the men who would have been captured and killed by federal agents, and it wouldn't have been nothing but history and blood spilled on the ground. But it's the difference between being an ordinary man and an extraordinary man. So the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, of course, was an extraordinary man, and he gave a very clear explanation. He said, only if it pleases Allah.
That's
and
right.
And it was evident that it did not, and that even the evil that lied within that man at that particular time could not supersede what Allah desired. And that is why he was not killed at that time.
That's right. And that's also
okay.
Why they can't have the life of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
That's right. Oh, we're not going to even talk about that one. Oh, don't get me crunk. Come on, I got a ponytail going on too. Don't do that. Okay, we have someone else on the line who's joining us. But before we bring him in, I just want to say greetings to my faithful followers and Brother Reginald, Sister Michelle, Brother Eugenio, and Brother Gene, who's, I know he's traveling over the road and he's always checking in, and my little brother Hakeem Rashid Muhammad, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, God. Love you much. Thank you for listening in. And I think this is Student Minister Andre, if I'm not mistaken. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
As-salamu alaykum, dear brother.
Wa alaykum salam. I want to send the universal greetings to my beloved brothers and sisters. I am so happy to be joining you tonight on the panel. It's been a while, and you know, I've been sacrificing a lot this week, but it's always a pleasure to be amongst the believing family. Sister Aziza, Brother James, Brother Kareem, Student Minister James and Brother Kareem, I'm sorry, all praise is due to Allah. I'm glad to be back amongst the believing family.
Yes, sir.
Well, it's wonderful to have you, brother.
Yes, sir. Well, let me begin properly. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, who came to us in the person of Master Father Muhammad, the self-guided one, to whom all praise is due, the Lord of all the worlds, who came to us and raised up one, to whom he exalted to the right-hand position, and he is in power and he is alive. And we further bear witness that the one that is in our midst today, the living, walking, talking Jesus in our midst, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And I want to greet the listening audience and the panel with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
The subject matter that you are speaking on tonight is something that, you know, is definitely necessary. So I am ready to engage into the dialogue. So I'm going to yield to you, Student Minister James, and we'll go ahead and continue what has already been talked about.
Well, praise be to Allah. And, of course, the subject matter is the time and what must be done, specifically installment 56, dealing with the shadow government. The shadow government.
Yes, sir.
Okay. We have a question from Shay.
And Shay says that the minister said that the president had been kept in the dark on the reality of the will. If they are kept in the dark, then who is really running our government?
And that's an excellent question. Who is really running our government? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says in these words, and I'll read them directly from him regarding that. He writes, as we mentioned to you in edition 51 of The Time and What Must Be Done, a National Geographic Channel poll conducted in June 2012 about UFOs showed that 79% of Americans believe there is a government cover-up about UFOs. And in an ABC News report titled Obama, First President to Mention Area 51, where early spy planes looked like UFOs, published on December 9, 2013 by Anita Constantinides, she references remarks made by President Obama to actress Shirley MacLaine about Area 51. The following is an excerpt from footage of President Obama's words on that occasion. When you first become president, one of the questions that people ask you is, what's really going on at Area 51? When I wanted to know, I called Shirley MacLaine. I think I just became the first president to ever publicly mention Area 51. How's that, Shirley? These are the words of President Obama in that excerpt. As you can see, the minister states, this is not an insignificant reference by President Obama to Shirley MacLaine and Area 51. As an Oscar, Golden Globe, and Emmy-winning actress, she has been known for decades to discuss her experiences with UFOs. As a proponent of New Age philosophy, which deals with a spirituality without borders or confining dogmas, and metaphysics, which deals with the underlying theoretical principles of a subject or field of inquiry, and the theological doctrine of causation, Shirley MacLaine has discussed in television interviews and in her books her beliefs and experiences with UFOs. According to Wikipedia, she gave numerous interviews on CNN, NBC, and Fox News channels on the subject. During 2007 and 2008, in her book, Saging While Aging, published in 2007, she described alien encounters and witnessing of Washington, D.C. UFO incidents in the 1950s. in the April 2011 edition of the Oprah Winfrey Show, McClain stated that she and her neighbor observed numerous UFO incidents at her New Mexico ranch for extended periods of time. We believe such references underscores an awareness of the president of this matter and his awareness of the interest of the American people about the issue of UFO. So what this is saying is that the president is a titular leader or in title only. He's not the power. The power is behind the throne, if you will, or behind the seat, if you will, that manipulates policy, both foreign and domestic. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan says that it is a wicked cabal of international bankers who have no allegiance to no country whatsoever, only allegiance to their agenda. And they have an idea or a thought that they have a justified monopoly on truth. And as we read on in this, you'll see that the president is a puppet. There's only so much that he can do. It is not that President Obama necessarily intentionally wants to deceive or withhold the information. It's just that he has no power to expose that which he does not know, and he doesn't have the latitude to expose what he does know because he's not the power. President Bush, when you look at him, let's read what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan said on this in an interview that was conducted for him by a representative of CNN. Let's see if I can find it. It's right here. It states, in a CNN interview with Don Lemon on March 7, 2007, I was asked about my views about the then candidate for President Barack Obama. This interview was done 2 months after I underwent a 14-hour operation and made Savior's Day 2007 in Detroit, Michigan. One Nation Under God, Part 1 was the theme. And as a result of my speech for 2 hours, the media was interested in knowing what is keeping this man alive. So Don Lemon from CNN came to our home in Chicago to interview me. And excerpted from the interview is as follows. Don Lemon, we were talking about Democrats, one of which who's running for president who lives in your very neighborhood. What do you think of him? The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan replied, I like him very much. I'm not saying that I'm going to vote for him, but I like him. Because he's fresh. He doesn't come with a lot of the baggage that those in politics that have been in politics and have been corrupted corrupted by it. Sold out to the moneyed interests, sold out to the multinational corporations, sold out to the international bankers. So when you look at President George W. Bush, you think you're looking at the president. There's another power behind him. When you look at Britain's Prime Minister, Tony Blair, you think you're looking at the Prime Minister. There's another power behind him. When you look at Chancellor Angela Merkel in Germany, you think you're looking at the head of state, but there's another power behind these people, and the powers that are dogging the whole world are the international bankers that finance both sides of the conflict. So it's a shadow government, hidden in secrecy, with no allegiance, nor restrictions or guidelines or any kind of government regulation. They're free to do whatsoever their agenda or the achievement of their agenda dictates. Thank you for your question.
Okay. I'm going to pose a question because I'm still
deciphering through the BS, for the lack of a better expression. No, I'm not in the mood. I'm sorry. I want to pose this question to Brother Kareem, Brother Andre, and, of course, you, Brother Suleiman, Mr. James, because when we're talking about saving our people, and the minister, of course, has given us 56 weeks of this lecture series and this warning to the nations, this warning to the world. What I am most concerned about, in just personally, as he talks about the shadow government, it just came to mind that, is it possible? Well, I know it's possible, but do you believe, in your personal opinion, that the church, and when I say the church, I'm talking about the Black Baptist Church. What's the name of the organization? Is it Southern Baptist, whatever? I don't know, but this is supposed to be the largest organization of Black churches. But just Black churches in general, are they under the constraints of the government and are limited to what they can actually teach in their church? And the reason why I say that is because when we go to the Bible and we you know, expound on the scripture, and we talk about Ezekiel's will, and we talk about how, you know, that the scriptures are 25% historical and 75% prophetic, then why is there this big gap between truth and reality when it comes to the mosque and the church, but we're all supposed to be serving the Black community? And this has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with a locking away or a new form of locking away of the scriptures. And I just wanted to get you gentlemen's opinion on that. And I want to hear from Student Minister James first, please. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I would say, quite honestly, that it is both ignorance and then it's both purposeful avoidance of the truth. We must remember that whenever we have to go to an institution to receive licensing, that there are requirements to qualify for whatever license we are applying, just like going to apply for a driver's license. Well, there are certain questions that you have to answer in order to qualify for a permit, and ultimately you have to show that you can satisfy certain rudiments of driving. But my point is there's an agency that gives the license that determines whether or not you will receive the license, and there are requirements, qualifications, and constraints. Well, so that extends also to getting licensed to preach. If you are a representative of the Word of God and as such are preaching the Word of God, what sense does it make then to have to go to an institution of the world to get a license to preach the Word of God? Well, it simply means that there's more to it than just preaching. There's more to it. And as such is included constraints. constraints, restrictions. It is the government that says that the churches don't have to pay taxes. Therefore, it is well within their power to change that, to reverse it. And now they have faith-based initiatives that, of course, come along with requirements to satisfy so that you could receive some of the money for these faith-based initiatives. In other words, he who pays the money calls the tune.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say, in large part, that there are restrictions that cause preachers to stay away from the preaching on certain scriptures and their meaning. And then, of course, another part of that is ignorance. They don't know the meaning of Scripture, and they keep the people blind, deaf, and dumb. It's like the blind leading the blind. Well, you know, in that regard, Jesus said both fall in the ditch, and black people, by and large, are in economic, political, spiritual, social ditch here in America that we cannot seem to extricate ourselves from.
Yes, sir. Okay. And Brother Andre, your opinion?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for the question, dear sister. Now, there are a few verses that come to mind when you ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
But at first, I want to give a little history. When our ancestors came here, or when they were brought here, I ain't going to say come, or came, when they were forced to come here, most of them had their own opinion of concerning who God was or who God is. And they did not get that conception from here. They already had that before they were here. That was taken away from them. It was taken away from them, and they were given another idea or a concept of who God was according to the slave master. That has been the pathway that they have been directed on since that time. And from that, you have the government that came into existence or that was already here in existence when they came here. So that was instituted into their mind from that point, and it still is being instituted into their minds to this day. So I would have to agree with Student Minister James as far as, yes, you know, I would believe and certainly think that the government does have control to a certain extent of what is being taught to the masses of the people in the churches. In the book of Daniel, the 12th chapter, 4th verse, it speaks about a time that the words will be put, or they will be sealed up until the end time. And it will be revealed at that time when many will rove about and knowledge will become abundant. If you look at the technology that we have now, you can get online and find just out just about anything. The modes of transportation have evolved predominantly from horse and buggy to high-speed traveling vehicles. So this is the time that the book will be revealed, or certain knowledge that has been secret or kept secret would be revealed, but to certain people, not necessarily the churches or the masses of the churches, but it will be revealed to a specific people. It also speaks about in the Bible a time will be when people will not be able to endure sound doctrine. I think that's in Timothy. I'm not for sure which verse, but I think it's the Second Timothy, when it speaks about people will heap up to themselves teachers with itching ears. And those the same teachers will turn away the people from the truth and turn it into fables. Well, just as Brother Kareem had said earlier about having a command of the English knowledge, when you turn something, it revolves. It makes a revolution. It turns and turns. The same thing happened when the first God was creating himself. He revolved. The Adam revolved. He was making a revolution. So when you have that revolution, it turns them away from their original idea and gives them a new idea. Those teachers are turning the minds of the people away from their original nature, or you want to call it with the original knowledge, the true knowledge, or that knowledge that has been kept secret. So I do believe, and I don't want to take up too much time, but I do believe that the government has a hand in what is being taught to the masses of the people in the churches. I truly believe that, because it talks about in the Holy Quran that only Islam, only God would only accept Islam. So if he's only going to accept Islam, he's not going to accept what's being taught in the churches. And we know that. It says in the Quran, too, as well, that those who disbelieve neither their wealth nor their children will avail anything against Allah. Well, wealth is translated into property, technology, military prowess. Children can be, well, it's translated and told to people who have certain influences, certain ideas and concepts that are against the true way of life. Those influences don't necessarily mean physical children, but they're also talking about agencies, schools of thought. All of these fall up under that children word. It falls up under that definition. So when we start to read and understand the words of Scripture, if we have a command on the English language, then we can understand that it's not only speaking about what it is literally saying, but metaphorically, and also it's not necessarily metaphorically, but when we use a command of the English language, we can figure out certain things that might not be so clear to us in the beginning. And I do think that the government does have a hand in the teachings that are being given to the churches in, as far as the masses of the people are concerned. Yes, ma'am. So that is my answer to that question. Thank you for that question.
Thank you, too. Sister Aziza and Brother Kareem, if I may, I just need to make a very, not necessarily correction, but just an expansion of a statement that you just made, Brother Andre, in terms of Allah referencing the scriptures in the Quran that Allah will only accept Islam. And that is true. But we have to give it a bit more understanding. It is not that those who are in the church will be rejected by God. And much of the truth that is being taught in the church, it's not that that truth is going to be rejected by God because it's under the label of Christianity. But that Quranic statement referenced Islam as being obedience to God. Allah will only accept obedience as his faith, as his religion. I didn't want to alienate any of our Christian listeners in the audience. By any misunderstanding that if what they're learning is not under the label Islam, that God is going to reject that. That's not the case. So I just wanted to make that qualification. Thank you. Thank you, Brother Andre, for allowing me, Sister Aziza, and Brother Kareem. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Thank you for thank you for clearing that up, dear brother. You know, yes, sir. Thank you for that.
Okay. And Brother Kareem, your opinion?
Yes, ma'am. Well, first and foremost, I will say this. I definitely agree with both my brothers in what they have said concerning the question. I wanted to share this. We're talking about the shadow government.
Mm-hmm.
And so in looking at the word, now this is what it says about shadow. The first definition it gives is a partial darkness or obscurity within a part of space from which rays from a source of light are cut off by an interposed opaque body. That's quite a bit. It has other definitions. However, the one that I'm thinking goes or really speaks to the point of the shadow government is this. The dark figure cast upon a surface by a body, intercepting the rays from a source of light.
Beautiful.
Now, that is exactly what this shadow government does, because we know that the word of God is light. And as Student Minister James Muhammad stated at the very beginning, I mean, perfect introduction to it, if one is teaching the word of Almighty God, why would you go and become licensed by people who, I'm just going to say it, they license cigarettes or tobacco. They license alcohol. In some states, they license prostitution. I mean, so if I'm teaching the word of God, I'm going to go. So these are all things that are, I mean, if we're God-fearing and God-serving people, these are all things that are of Satan. So if I'm going to preach the word of God who is against Satan, why would I go get licensed by those who license satanic practices? That just doesn't add up. So, yes, they are absolutely in control of what is being taught in the churches by those who are licensed by them. However, I personally have been to some churches where the pastors have grown to the point where it doesn't matter as they receive the truth. They get the revelation. They're actually putting it out there. However, and you'll know those pastors by the immediate attacks on them after they begin to share the real truth. Point in case, Reverend Wright.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor of, or former pastor, I guess. I don't know if he's pastor or former pastor, but he, at that time he was the pastor of President Barack Obama, and they strove to use his speaking the truth against the president. Also, yes, I would definitely agree, based upon what the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is sharing with us and teaching us that he got from his teacher, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us, it's in Message to the Black Man, if I'm not mistaken, where he said it's not that they necessarily are lying to us, they just don't know. They hadn't been taught. This truth was revealed by Master Farrakhan Muhammad to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and those that were present for the first time. It said that the knowledge of who God was and who God is, this was the first time it was revealed. So quite naturally, the majority, not all, but the majority of those who stand behind the pulpit, And when I say that, it doesn't necessarily mean, it's a shame to say it, but it doesn't necessarily mean only in the what you call the church. Many of them are interested in numbers and money. They're interested in money. So if teaching you the truth is going to chase away the money, then they're not going to talk about it. Everybody wants to give a feel-good or prosperity messages, they call it. This is what they talk about. I've heard so many individuals say this in the church before they really understand and recognize. They say, well, we don't use the Old Testament. We're in the New Testament now. When you study the scripture, you can't get away from the Old Testament. Jesus himself in the New Testament said, and I quote, Think not that I have come to destroy the law, but to establish the law. He says, not one jot. That means not one word, not one tittle. That means not one piece of punctuation shall pass from the law until the kingdom of heaven is established. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but I look around me and other than in a few people and in a few places, I don't see the kingdom of heaven completely established on the planet. So that means that the law, that means that the Old Testament is yet in effect. That means that that which is in the Old Testament, which Jesus constantly refers to, is relevant. So, yes, I would agree absolutely that they have a hand in it and that it behooves everyone who says that they are a servant of God, regardless of what your faith expression may be, to do what it says in the Bible. Study to show thyself approved. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Thank you, Brother Kareem.
Praise be to Allah.
Okay, we have a, and you know what, I'm so mad at these people on the phone. Y'all are just sitting there, and you know, this is study group. So, yes, it is a place where you come and learn. But you need to say something, so I'm going to remind you once again. Press 1 on your dial pad. It's 50,000 of y'all out there. I can't believe y'all just sitting on the phone from checking my system to make sure that there's no lock on the phone. So the phones are not locked, so... Please press one on your dial pad. Let us hear from you. If you have a question, no matter how odd or indifferent you think it may be, we are here to answer your questions pertaining to Islam in this subject matter. And there's a question from Ali. He says, will Dianetics be needed by the people to perceive the will? It seems the minister has put the believers on a path to mental healing. Will the powers of the will be put all over the earth, therefore representing the new heaven and the new earth?
Okay. Can you just read that question one more time? I would appreciate it, sis.
Okay. He says, will Dianetics be needed by the people to perceive the will? That's the first question. And his comment is, it seems the minister has put the believers on a path of mental healing. And the second question is, will the powers of the will be put all over the earth, therefore representing the new heaven and new earth?
Excellent question. If I may, can I unless you have an order, Sister Aziza, you'd like us to answer that in?
Oh, no, it's your show. It's your show.
This is our show. I'm privileged
to
be the...
Look, don't believe the hype, y'all. I have no power. I just work here.
Come on, sis. This is our show. You know, I'm privileged to be designated as the host. By Allah's and yours permission, as a matter of fact. But look, this is our show. This is yours, mine, and the people who are listening. It belongs to us all.
That's right.
So,
I yield to you, Brother James, first. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. In terms of Dianetics, a subject with which I have some degree of familiarity, Dianetics is a technology that allows anyone who participates in its auditing aspect to be able to identify those negative experiences that the results of which, the consequences of which, though these experiences occurred in the past, the consequences of them still direct our current and present behavior. Now, in scriptures, Jesus referred to them as demons, and they have some reference as demons in Dianetics, in the language of Dianetics as well. They're called demon circuits.
That's right.
However, it is the methodology. When you read about Jesus casting out demons, when you read about the restorative and resurrecting message of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, his teachings, and the message of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, when you read about being made new, Well, there's methodology by which these things will take place. They don't happen in a vacuum. Therefore, the technology of Dianetic auditing is a tool and a technology by which we can exorcise these demons, more popularly referred to or technically referred to in Dianetics as engrams. We can exorcise them out of what is called the reactive mind, the reactive mind. Now, the reactive mind is an aspect of the mind that has an identification problem, and it is currently described as A equals A equals A. In other words, everything is the same. It is a primitive mechanism that primitive human beings were given as a defense mechanism. That is to say, before man became intellectually developed. And when I say man, I mean white man. Before they became intellectually developed, there was a natural defense mechanism that they were given called the reactive mind. How did it work? It worked this way, that if something evil or harmful happened to the person, and there were circumstances in the environment that were prevalent or prominent at the time that this harmful event took place, then what the reactive mind does is when you are in a similar environment with similar characteristics of the environment in which you received harm, then that reactive mind will tell you that same harm that you received years ago, you're going to receive it again because some of the elements of the environment in which you received it years ago are present now. That's called the reactive mind. But as man developed intellectually, he needed that defense mechanism less and less. And things then were being filtered through his logical mind. Logical. And what is a logical mind? Example. If you ate something, for example, an egg, the popular example that Dianetics gives. Say you ate an egg 10 years ago, a boiled egg, and it made you sick. 10 years later, someone offers you a boiled egg and you say, well, I don't eat eggs. Why? I don't eat boiled eggs because I ate one 10 years ago and it made me sick. See, that's illogical because you know the egg that you're being offered cannot be in any way, shape, or form the same egg that made you sick 10 years ago. That's illogical. But yet, because of what happened 10 years ago, you make an illogical decision. I'm not eating boiled eggs. Why? Because it looks like the same thing that made me sick 10 years ago, even though you know logically that it could not be the same thing. It just looks like that. So what Dianetics does is allow you to go into those experiences through auditing, the auditing process, and separate that which happened 10 years ago that was harmful, separate the knowledge of that experience from the fear of it happening again because similar elements in the environment exist at this current and present time. So you're left with just the knowledge of the experience, but not the debilitating and limiting fear that makes you think because it happened then is going to happen now. You see? That's the tool that will clear our minds up in preparation for the wonderful healing that we're going to receive on the wheel if it pleases our God, that we are blessed to be on that wheel or be or remain after the judgment takes place. Now, to the second part of your question, that the wheel, if the wheel is going to come down to earth, and what is on the wheel will be spread throughout the earth, that's absolutely the truth. This is what the minister said, that everything on the wheel is that which will renew the earth and make it new. He said that there are cows on the wheel, but they are perfected cows. He said there are bees on the wheel, but they are perfected bees. He said there's water on the wheel, but not the kind of water that's on the earth as it is in its condition now. It's I don't mean purified water. It's perfected water, perfected milk, perfected trees, you see? And that which is on the wheel, once it comes down to the earth, it will spread or seed the entire earth and make the earth a reflection of what is in the wheel and on the wheel, thus making it a new heaven and a new earth. That is to take place after the judgment. So that is how I would answer the second part of your question.
Okay, is there anyone else on the line who wants to weigh in on that?
I would simply say that Student Minister James Muhammad covered that completely.
All praises due to Allah.
I would also agree there, Sister Queen. There's nothing else I can say concerning that. He covered every aspect of it.
Well, I hope it's satisfactory to the brother that asked the question.
Mm-hmm.
Queen?
I'm sorry, I dropped, but I'm back.
Okay.
I'm back. My phone dropped. I'm sorry. So was there anyone else willing to weigh in? If not, we have a question on the line.
I think we should go to the next question.
Okay. Area code 347. I think that's New York. Assalamu alaikum. Your mic is live.
Wa alaikum assalam, Brother Levi Muhammad. I was reluctant of calling because I don't know all the panelists' name. I like to greet all the panelists and the degrees of Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Alaikum assalam, sir.
So, no, we was talking about earlier. He was talking about telekinetic or kinetic, and I said, "Well, I call because it don't take a strong discernment to pick up that if I don't call and ask a question." I don't know the sister Aziza personally, but by the language she was using, she was saying she's going to be upset. I said, "Well, I just call and ask her a question, you know." So that's my question. My question is going.
That's a wise move, brother. You don't want to be on our sister's angry side. I'll say that.
You know, I mean, it's the mathematics of science. When I hang up, I don't want to be like, "Well, I can't even text her and say it was a good show," because mathematically, she got the right to come back and say, "Well, you didn't ask a question." So I'm going to ask a question on, can you go more into the difference from discernment and, because the only thing I know about telekinesis is nothing spooky, but I remember reading it probably when I was young, reading about Carrie. The book Carrie, that was talking about telekinesis. Could you go more into the details on our way of thinking or devotion on kinesics? Like, is that the same thing as discernment? Please, sir.
Well, yes, sir. First of all, I'd like to make a distinction that telekinesis, the term to which you are referring, deals with the ability to move objects. Or to move yourself with your mind, with the power of thought, to move physical objects. Telepathy is what we were referencing, and that is the ability to pick up on the thoughts of others. So those are two different terms, two different abilities. We were talking about the ability of telepathy, to be able to read minds or the thoughts of an individual.
Thank you. Well, that's a good question. I'm pleased to know that I did ask a good question, because the whole time I would have been confused. You know, so thank you, sir.
Well, all praise is due to Allah, dear brother. And in terms of going in depth about it, maybe one of the other panelists can, because I'm still trying to develop the little ability to read thought. You know, I have very little manifestation of it, to be honest, and I have very little knowledge about the technical aspect of it. I just know that we have that capability.
Well, yes. I can share, for having many years of the ability, it's almost like a clearing of the mind, to whereas you can pick up or feel certain sensations in your immediate environment. Now, if I walked up on you on the street, of course I could not just read what's on your mind. However, when there is a certain level of concentration and a certain level of study of an individual or an environment or anything that you visit on a regular basis, then you have a tendency to adapt in the mindset or become familiar with the think tank, so to speak, of a particular situation, you know, place, or can happen at work. You might not necessarily be the best of friends with your coworker, but you have been around them enough to know that there are certain things that they will do, will say, and, you know, by a certain disposition or something that you'll be able to, you know, just pick up on what they're thinking and what they're feeling and how they express themselves and what they mean and what, you know, versus what they say. So it's not anything spooky. We all have that ability. It's just another cut above what we call our basic instinct. It's just something that we have. It's not a secret power or anything
of
that nature. Yeah, just a higher level of concentration with a clear mind, because when your mind is congested, it's very, very difficult to achieve that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am. Yes.
Okay,
what's your name
again, brother? I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Levi Muhammad, Miles number 7.
Oh, yes. Okay. Assalamualaikum, brother Levi.
Yeah, thank you, ma'am. I appreciate that you breaking it down to me, making it clear for me to understand.
Brother Levi, on a personal note, brother, I would ask you to please extend my love and greetings to all of the believers in New York. That's where I'm from, dear brother.
Yes, sir.
That's where I got my ex nearly 42 years ago, brother.
Well, praise be Allah. I'm originally from Miles number 25, Newark, New Jersey. I'll be remiss if I don't say that. And I transferred to Miles number 7. I'm originally from Miles 25, transferred to Miles number 7. But I will return the greetings, sir.
Thank you, brother.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Brother Levi. It's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you, ma'am.
Oh, yes, sir. Okay, we have a question on the line from Stacy. Stacy wants to know, who created religion if we all came from the same God?
Well, wow, that's an excellent question. Not necessarily on the topic that we're discussing, but it's an excellent question. I'm going to defer this one to my brother Kareem. I know he has a very astute and wise answer for that one. Go ahead, brother Kareem.
All praise is due to Allah. Well, in response to that question, I would say this. I would have to begin this way, that in the Quran, Allah states this. He says, "This day have I perfected for you your religion," all right, "and chosen Islam as a religion for you." And again, Islam meaning submission to God's will, regardless of what label may be on it. The true religion is submission to God's will. We have to look at that word religion. Religion, you've got the prefix R-E, which means to do again. And the second syllable of religion, okay, which would be legion, or actually it's in line, it has the same root as the word legion, which means many. It also has the same root as the word align, which means to line up with. So religion is described as a set of principles and practices performed on a regular basis designed to bring one into line with or realignment with the Creator. That's the true religion. Now, religion, or the many religions that we see being practiced today, are definitely made by mankind. They are not original. The reason I say that is the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has shared with us over many, many years the fact that your religion is not what you say. Your religion is what you do. So the original religion or set of principles and practices which line us up with God came from God. And we can see that because they're in our nature. In other words, no one has to tell me the difference between right and wrong. There's an aspect of my being. There's a part of myself that lets me know when I have the thought, before I even take the action, that this is wrong, that this is not something that would please God. Why? Because as soon as the thought comes, if it's something I've already decided I'm going to do, I start planning on how I'm going to do it, and nobody knew about it, or I'm not going to get caught. So if I got a plan on not getting caught, I know it's incorrect.
That's right, brother.
So, again, I will say this very, very, and to wrap it up, to be very simple with it. If what an individual is practicing or doing or calling their religion does not first bring them into correct moral behavior, that means doing things that are neither harmful to themselves or others first. If what an individual is practicing does not constantly make them think about the better or the common good of themselves, their family, and their people. And thirdly, if what an individual is practicing allows them to use deceptive intelligence to justify their actions, even though they know they're wrong, then what they are practicing is the made religion of mankind. Now, the converse is those same three things. If what you're practicing allows you to be of great benefit to yourself, to your family, and to your community, then you are practicing the religion, the original religion of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, total submission to His will. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam.
Okay. Anyone else?
Okay.
No more.
All right. Okay, we have a question from All God One. He says,
okay.
How do we prepare for propaganda, and how do we recognize it?
Now, that is an excellent question.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent question. I'd like to respond to that.
Yes, sir.
By
the
all
success,
means.
The success, dear brother, of any propaganda is the ignorance of those who are propagandized.
Come on.
It is making yourself knowledgeable of the truth of a thing that immunizes you from propaganda, especially improper or false propaganda. So the principle is here very simply, dear brother, don't let people tell you your opinion. Go and find out yourself through empirical research or study, or in the case of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, hear the man for yourself. Listen to his words and then examine his words and study them, piece them apart, as the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to say.
That's right.
And then make a decision for yourself. Paul said in Scripture, or according to Scripture, prove all things and hold fast to that which is true. So the knowledge of the truth of any circumstance is your protection, dear brother, against propaganda. That's number one. What was the second part of the question?
He said, how do we recognize it?
It goes along with my first response. You recognize propaganda by having the standard of what is the truth of the matter. See, anybody can tell you anything if you don't know firsthand for yourself. If someone spreads a lie about you, dear brother, well, if the people don't bother to know the truth, to find out the truth, then they'll be victimized by that rumor, by that propaganda. But let's look at the word propaganda so that we can get a better understanding contextually of how we're using this word. Give me a moment. Okay. The word propaganda is defined as information, ideas, or rumors deliberately spread widely to help or harm a person, group, movement, institution, nation, etc.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, the deliberate spreading of such information, rumors, etc. Number three, the particular doctrines or principles propagated by an organization or movement. So, primarily in the context that you are posing your question and we are understanding it, it's rumor. It could be false or it could be true. It doesn't necessarily have to be a lie. But the question is, how do you discern the truth of it, the veracity of it, the what is called the efficacy of it? How do you determine it except that you have a standard by which you can determine what is true and what is false? So that standard is your knowledge as a result of your own personal research. The things that the principles that you hear articulated by us on this show, for example, we don't say just accept them on face value. When we read the scripture, go to the scripture. We say where it's found before we read it. Go to that scripture and make sure that what we're reading is actually what's in the book, both in the Bible and Quran. And then apply that meaning that we offer, that interpretation that we offer to what you know. and see if it's logical, if it's truthful. Does it work? Is it real? That's all of our obligations. Accept nothing on face value. As I read at the outstart of this show, I said, I read the scriptures indicating different parts of the scripture. Jesus is warning to the people, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. Many are going to come in my name. That's very interesting because it means if you're coming in my name, it doesn't necessarily mean the name Jesus. It means coming in my program, coming in my structure.
That's right.
Many are going to come in my name, in my program, in my truth. Many going to come. No, prove all things and hold fast to that which is true as a result of your own empirical research, dear brother. Find out for yourself. And especially don't use the standard, which I'm sure you won't, but I'll say it anyway. Don't use the standard of the white man, what is popularized by his media. In fact, about I would say you'd be safe to just reject that immediately if it's coming from him. But you research all of it, what we say, what they say, what anyone says, and apply it to the principles of truth as you have researched it on your own. And that's how you prepare for it, and that's how you will recognize the falsity of the propaganda. Remember, propaganda is not necessarily false, but that which is false, you'll be able to recognize it by your knowledge of the truth.
Okay, anyone else want to respond to all God's questions?
Again, I have to say to Mr. James Muhammad, that is it. that is the step. You got it. You have to know the truth in order to be able to tell whether the propaganda is accurate or not.
Okay. Well, we don't have any more questions, so are there any closing statements from anyone on the panel?
Well, just a request, sis. I'd like the opportunity to make my regular announcement regarding Savior's Day after, when we get to, of course, anyone else would like to make a closing statement.
Okay, Brother Andre, Brother Kareem. I'm losing my voice.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Kareem, and I simply would like to say thank you, thank you, thank you. All praise is due to Allah for allowing me to again be a part of this wonderful study group. I pray to Allah that I'm able to continue to participate because it's good for my soul. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum salam. And Student Minister Andre.
Assalamu alaikum. I was on mute. I apologize. I was trying to say something earlier, but my phone got stuck on mute. But I would just like to say thank you again for allowing me to be on the show. And hopefully from this point on, I won't be late getting on the show. I did have some issues earlier, but inshallah next week and from this point on, I'll be able to get on early enough to start the show. Inshallah. But thank you again for allowing me to be on the panel along with these two beautiful brothers and as yourself, Sister Queen. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Well, I just want to say that I am grateful to all of you as well as our listening audience who so faithfully hung in there with us. And, you know, even though they were quiet tonight, and I learned, you know, really I'm teasing you all. But I learned a long time ago from our beloved brother DJ Black Caesar that when your audience is quiet, they're actually learning. So, of course, all praise is due to Allah. That is our goal, to teach and to help the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan get these beautiful, beautiful life-saving, life-giving teachings out. So thank you, listening audience, once again. And allow me to give the lineup. Excuse me, I don't know what's going on with my throat. Okay, but tomorrow, join us at 8 p.m. for Young, Gifted, and Black. I don't know what we're going to be doing, but we're going to be doing something big. So join us and see. We're going to blow it up, getting ready for Black History Month. And I want to just share with you that I spoke with Student Minister Demetric Muhammad earlier today, who is on the research team for the Honorable Mr. Louis Farrakhan. And he has agreed that not this coming week, but the following week, that he will be on to share the history of the Nation of Islam. Taking the history of the Nation of Islam from 1930 all the way up to present day. So I want to implore you to gather your babies. That is the theme. And I have someone very near and dear to my heart who is going to be working with me on this as far as the promotional aspect. And Brother James, I think you know this young man by the name of Student Minister and Study Group Coordinator Michael Muhammad.
Praise be to Allah. That's about time he came out of this show.
Well, you know, I'm the queen. I can make the dead rise.
that's our brother from Tampa, Florida. Beautiful brother. Praise be to Allah.
I can bear witness to that because if anyone was on the show Tuesday night for Brother Jihad, I had brothers from everywhere and covered at least 60 years of Nation of Islam history, just having those variation of believers on the line the other night for Brother Jihad. So if I tell you that the Queen can bring you together, I can bring you together. So he's going to cover for us. He's going to take us from 1975 and beyond. So, inshallah, we are requesting that Student Minister Carlos out of Baltimore will also be one of the participants to expound on the history of the Nation of Islam. And I want to share with everyone quickly about what is going on, especially here in Texas. I cannot speak for any other state at this point. But recently they have revised the textbooks of the history classes in the middle school grade areas, which is 6th through 9th grade or 6th through 8th grade or something of that nature. And one of the young brothers from Dallas, Texas, was, because he's, of course, he's a Nation baby, he's been in all his young life. And in the history book, they tell the story of Malcolm X. And at the end of the brief history of Minister Malcolm X, they close it with a statement stating that the Nation of Islam has long been suspected of the assassination of Minister Malcolm. And Allah spoke so heavily to my spirit that we have to teach. We cannot become angry when these institutions of so-called higher learning do these things. It's just a way of Allah awakening us to do what we should have always been doing, and that is educating our own. So I want to invite you to gather your babies and allowed to hear the history of their faith by those who are witnessing it, those who are recording it, those who have been there. Inshallah, we will get Minister Biha, we will get The Rock on, we will get Sister Betty, who was the one of the secretaries, assistant to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We will get all of the pioneers at some point, I pray Allah, to come on. And so this is for the family. If you've been in 20 or 30 years, you might know a significant amount of history, but we're going to tell the entire story from 1930 to 2014. And what a blessing going right into Savior's Day following week. So please join us. Please gather your babies so that we can teach them their history of their faith, and they don't have to get it wrong from anyone else. So I appreciate all of the support that I'm getting, and may Allah help us to be successful, which I already know He will. And then on Sunday, we're having another different show because Brother Reginald is out of town, so I'm not a slave driver. I had to give him a little break. So I'm going to need some help creating a format for Sunday, so this is what I decided to do. I decided to let the listening audience inbox me and choose a topic of discussion. And whatever the topic is outside of sex, of course, we will do that topic and have you on as a guest. So that's what we're going to do on Sunday.
Praise be to Allah.
And on Monday,
very good.
On Monday, Brother Kareem is going to bless us with another intriguing topic on Conscious Black Nation. And what will that be, Brother Kareem?
Do you really want to know?
We got to know. We got to know. We don't have a choice.
Our topic Monday will be Mothership Connection. Glory be to the one who knows what the truth's about.
Okay, my folks, remember to this. Allah. Can I get that in a text message?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I will send it to you in a text message. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Okay. And on Tuesday, we'll have another pre-recorded session from Brother Jihad, who, by the way, is completely off of his ventilator. He is breathing completely on his own. So all praises due to Allah every day. The brother is making remarkable strides, and Allah is manifesting his power. And I can just say I cannot wait to hear Brother Jihad share his testimony with us. All praises due to Allah. I'm not even surprised anymore. I know Brother Melvin down in Fort Lauderdale says we should not be surprised about what Allah can do. So
That's right.
There we have it. Okay, and on Wednesday, DJ Black Season Friends at 7 p.m., and on Thursday, I'll be back with another topic. We're going to try to kind of tap into the history of Islam then, but those shows will air on Saturday to make sure that the babies are not staying up too late and they can still participate in the history. So we're going to do those historical shows on a Saturday night on Young, Gifted, and Black. But I'll have another family topic for you on Thursday. And then on Friday, we'll be right back here with Student Minister James. Now, Brother James, is there one more, two more, or no more?
Before Savior's Day?
Yes.
I think it's...
saying the time of what must be done.
Oh, I think there's two more.
Two more, okay.
It's tomorrow and then next week, because he was going to 58, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So tomorrow's 57.
Okay.
And
yes,
then
sir.
Next week is 58.
Okay.
That would make up for the time, unfortunately, he spent... not unfortunately, but very fortunately, convalescing and having his health restored. But he wants to make sure that he gives the complete 52 weeks that he committed to. So I think 58 will sum it up.
Yes, sir. Okay, all right. So we'll be right back here next Friday night for part 57 of the time.
Now, Queen, if I may say, as it was going to be part of my announcement for the Savior's Day gift, that on Tuesday, February 11th, we're going to be hosting, inshallah, our telethon for our Savior's Day gift, as we did it last year and the year before. We're going to do it this year. And information will be forthcoming as to how we can tune in and participate from, it'll be on NOI.org. So we want to keep our eyes and ears tuned to further information. Of course, all of us who are listening who are affiliated with any mosque or study group will get our information there, but we want to make sure that the public at large has all the information as to how to tune in and participate. The Savior's Day Gift Telethon, Tuesday, February 11th.
Okay. All right, and Brother James, you have an announcement for us?
Yes, as regards the Savior's Day gift, first and foremost, I want to thank those of you who have responded to our appeal that we have been making in recent weeks to support the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam through this annual Savior's Day gift drive. And I want to thank everyone, Muslim, Christian, Jew, or those who have no particular faith expression to profess. We want to thank you for your contributions, whether they were as little as a penny or as much as a dollar. We want to thank you, all of you, who are participating in this Savior's Day gift effort. We want to thank those who responded specifically to our appeal for the Savior's Day gift. Again, make your checks and money orders payable to the Savior's Day gift, and in the memo section of your check or money order, write the numbers 3059 and send those checks and money orders to Tampa Study Group, care of Michael Muhammad. That's 13510 Copperhead Drive, Riverview, Florida, 33569. Once again, that's the Tampa Study Group, care of Michael Muhammad, 13510 Copperhead Drive, Riverview, Florida, 33569. And thank you all who have responded. May Allah continue to bless you. And on behalf of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we thank you, thank you, thank you. So thank you for allowing me that announcement.
Oh, yes, sir, absolutely. Okay. Well, thank you all once again for joining us. And, of course, as usual, staying over time. May Allah continue to bless us all with the light of understanding as we leave you, as we came before you, in our nation's greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum. One nation, one love. Good night, y'all.
Wa alaikum salam.
Wa alaikum.
Good night.